So we're continuing in this subject of the power of the tongue. We're talking about, do our words matter? And of course we know that they do. And one of the things that I was looking at Sunday, starting here just as a refresher, is that God made us in Genesis 1:26, 27, He made us in His image and likeness. In John 4:24, it says, God is what? A spirit. And those that worship Him are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But the main point is, God is a spirit. If we're made in His image and likeness, then we are spirit. We are a spirit. And Jesus spoke here during His earthly ministry, the words that I speak are spirit and life. Hallelujah. So if I'm made in His image and likeness, then my words are spirit, and I like to say should be life. But we know that we live in this body. Our minds are to be what? Transformed and renewed by the Word of God, so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So that means that there is no death in God. He's only light. He is perfect. And so there is no death in Him. There's no darkness in Him, right? So He can only speak life. He can only do good. He can only think good. God is love. But on the other hand, we should speak life. And I say that as we get our minds transformed, we begin to think like Him. We begin to talk like Him. Our minds become in agreement with our, what? Our spirit man. Our spirit man has no darkness in it. This spirit has been made perfect. Hallelujah. But we also want to make sure, look, it says that we need to trap, you know, Brother Hagin used to say it like this. He said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your house, but you can sure stop it from building a nest in it, right? So I can't stop thoughts from coming, but I sure can do what? I can have a say-so on whether they stay or not, right? So same thing, that as I get my mind renewed and I know the will of God, then I'm going to say, no, you leave here, casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. We're to do what? Cast it down. But it's going to take us doing what? Learning the Word of God and executing it. So when we look at, you know, how God operated, how did He operate? He spoke and things happened. He didn't have an off day. He didn't say, I'm going to vent today, right? I'm going to let some steam off today, right? He didn't curse. He only spoke good, right? He spoke good. He created things. And so how should we operate? We're to operate like Him, right? We're to speak blessing and not curse, right? So anyways, let's go over. I know I told you to get to James. I'm going to turn over there and get to James chapter 3. And looking at verse 1, it says, my brethren, be not many masters. Some of the translations say teachers. Because why? Because you're going to be judged differently. It says, knowing that we shall receive a greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend, how? Not in what? Word, the same as a perfect man. That just means somebody who's developed, fully developed. And able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may do what? Obey us. And we turn about their whole body. I want you to keep note of that. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the gust governor listeth. You notice here, it doesn't just say, behold, we have a rudder, and it only, which, and it says here, behold, ships, which though they be so great, are driven of what? Just calm winds. It says fierce winds, right? So even in fierce winds, the rudder is able to do what? Control the ship. And it says here, and they're turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and does what? Boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it does what? It defileth the whole body. And one of the things that I was sharing Sunday is that that word defile also means to debase. And that word debase has a different kind of meaning. It means to lower in status. Well, defile means to corrupt the purity or perfection of. It means to debase. When I debase something, it means here to lower in a status, esteem, quality, or character. So that means you lower or debase something with what? Your words. You can say, in other words, what do I mean by that? God calls you healed. He calls you prosperous. He calls you brand new in Christ. And you turn around and say something different because of how you feel. You've just debased something. You've lowered it in character and quality in your life, right? That's what that means. You debase with your words something that God has established. Continuing, verse 7, it says, for every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. But now here's the thing. This is not talking about, when it says here, no man can tame the tongue, this is not talking about you not being able to tame your tongue. This is talking about me being able to tame your tongue. That's what that means. Because if that was not the case, he's saying here, you need to control your tongue. But this says here, no man can tame another man's tongue. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude or the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth what? Blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Well, we know that's not true. A fig tree bears figs. A fig tree can't bear something other. Think about that when you just stop and think about that. What that's saying is, if you turn around and speak good, can good produce something evil or bad? No. And the same is true. You can't speak bad about something and expect good to come out of it. It can't happen. If you speak something negative and always wondering why negative stuff is going on in your life, you continue to speak negative, you will reap negative. An olive tree will produce olives. A fig tree will produce figs. It can't produce something different. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So if you speak negative words, you will reap negative results. You cannot reap good from speaking evil or speaking negative. So speaking blessing, say, in other words, blessing and cursing should not come out of the same mouth. Speaking blessing is speaking life, speaking good, speaking healing, speaking prosperity, seeking success. That's what that's speaking. If I'm speaking good, that's what I'm speaking. If I'm speaking cursing, I'm speaking death, I'm speaking failure, I'm speaking sickness, I'm speaking fear, I'm speaking worry. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what's happening here. I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. You're speaking something that's what? Death-filled. And you're going to reap that. And it may take some time, but you will reap it. Because the kingdom on this earth and God's kingdom is set up for seed time and harvest. Hallelujah. If I keep professing, even when it doesn't appear to be, if I keep saying my bank accounts are full, everything I set my hands to is blessed, I'm not restricted by my paycheck. I'm not limited by my Social Security check. I'm not limited by my Social Security disability. I'm not, whatever it is, I'm not limited by that. Too often I hear people say, well, you know, I'm retired now. I just retired and we have to move because we can't afford to live here. I'm going to say it. If you say so, it will be so. If you say so, it will be so. And the reason I say that, only say the things that God says. What? Either in his word or something that he's what? Revealed to you. If he's revealed to you to move, then you move. But don't make it the reason I can't afford it. I can't afford it, so I'm going to leave. No. You need to be getting direction from God and not keep talking what? Lack and doubt. And that I'm saying God is looking for a people that will take him at his word. You know, if you read the story of George Mueller, it's a wonderful story. M-U-E-L-L-E-R, George Mueller. Back in, I don't know, I guess it was the 1800s, he started with an orphanage. This is over in England. And he didn't have much. He had nothing. And he started and he built this huge complex. And he began to do what? Believe God and call in the resources. They said at that time, this is back in the 1800s, might have been earlier than that, but you get the biography and read it. It's a fabulous story where he began to believe God. He said it was, this is some of the statements he made. He said, it's just as easy for me to believe for $1 million today as it was for $1 when I first started. That's what he said. And he said that during that time that he lived, he said he believed in God for more than $7 or $8 million back then. He said that was a huge deal, a big deal. And he built this huge orphanage where they didn't have to pay anything. They just came in. He fed them. He housed them. He did all of this believing God, believing God, believing God. And I said, you know what? God is still looking for a people to do that. He's looking for a person, a people. And you could be that people. You could be that person. Say, you know what? I'm not limited. I'm not restricted. Hallelujah. We restrict with our words. Hallelujah. Amen. If you keep talking about how weak I am, how tired I am, then you will be. You certainly will be. And sometimes that's a good checkup on us. The more, and you know, the more we say things, just stop and say, do I want that to come to pass? I don't know. No. Then stop saying it. When you start speaking, you stop and say, do I want that to come to pass? Because you're made in his image and likeness. And what you say will come to pass. Amen. So negative or death-filled words cannot produce good or life. They will not. That's what the scripture said. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? No. Either a vine, fig. No, a vine produces grapes, not figs. Good words don't produce death and negative. Conversely, life-filled words don't produce negative results. Amen. Glory to God. So let's turn over. Let's turn over to Proverbs now. 18. I want to look at this scripture again. I'm going to expand on this. Proverbs 18:20. So the kingdom of God, we said, operates on the principle of sowing and reaping. You sow God's word in your heart by doing what? Speaking it out of your mouth. You sow it into your heart. The word of God is the will of God. Where there is the will of God, there's the way of God, you could say. That's his way, his will. So Proverbs 18, a man's belly, verse 20, Proverbs 18:20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with what? The fruit of his mouth, or the harvest, the byproduct. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That word tongue, actually in the Hebrew, it means tongue, means organ of speech, is what it says, and language. So that's what we're talking about, words. So language, tongue means, in this case here, they use the word tongue in the King James. Some of the other translations, the NIV, it says the tongue has the power of life and death. But I like the NIV, it says, with the harvest from the lips he is satisfied. So there's a harvest from the lips. Verse 21 in the Good News Translation, it says, what you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words. The complete Jewish Bible says, a person's belly will be filled with the fruit of his mouth, with what his lips produce, he will be filled. The tongue has the power over life and death. Those who indulge it must eat its fruit. So we will eat the fruit of what we speak and what we say, what we plant. Glory to God. So this increase that we have, if we're looking for increase in our finances, increase in life, increase in good, the increase is going to start with what? Our words. That's where it's going to start. So if you're looking for an economic recovery, it's got to start first with your words. So you can't hope for economic recovery. You're going to have to start speaking economic recovery before you experience economic recovery. If you're looking for health in your body, you're going to have to start talking health before you experience health recovery in your body. Amen. Amen. Amen goes right there. And it could take a while to experience that, but you stick with it. Because what does it say? It says in Mark 11:23, I'm just going to read that. Mark 11:23, it talks about whosoever shall do what? Say unto this mountain. Well, that could be, you know, an economic problem, a physical problem, some obstacle. But it says, if I say with my mouth and believe in my heart and doubt not, but believe the things that I say, I shall experience it. I'll have it. I love the Johnson translation. It says here that truly anyone who speaks to that mountain yonder saying, dump yourself in the lake, and does not become separated from the statement he makes, it says here that person will actualize his statement. So that means that when we speak something, we cannot become separated from that statement that we make. Now, if you're vacillating and you're not sure, hold up, don't speak. Meditate on the word of God. Become convinced that that's what you believe. And then don't become separated no matter what you experience. So the health recovery that we look for, the economic recovery that we look for, has to start in our heart by believing God, what we meditate on is what we're going to believe. And what we believe is what we're going to say. And what we say is going to do what? Determine the direction of our life. So we've got to begin, if we're doing it in a measure that's good, and keep doing it. Keep speaking blessing. Keep speaking health over your body. Keep speaking. Keep speaking. You know, God reveals to us in ways to fulfill that which, you know, in a sense, you're prophesying over yourself. You're prophesying good. You're prophesying a word over your life. And think about it. God, when he speaks, it must come to pass. Not sometimes, every time. And if I speak what he speaks and doubt not and believe in my heart, it must come to pass. See, that's the key. If it's something that he's promised, then I can have it. And if I speak it and I keep speaking it, it must be fulfilled. It has to be. And so don't get weary. What does it say? Don't get weary in well-doing. It says because in what? Due season, you might reap. No. And that whole set of verses is talking about sowing and reaping. Is it not? God is not mocked. He that soweth, right? You reap what you sow. So from the standpoint of, no matter what it looks like, you keep speaking the word. Keep speaking blessing and not cursing over your life. And what I was pointing out was that as we do that, God will lead us by his Spirit. He'll lead our spirit to do things. He'll begin to think through us, say, do this, go over here, pick this up, read this article, do this, change this, don't eat that anymore, exercise. Those little things may seem insignificant, but I'm talking, saying when I speak blessing and health and I'm strong, and maybe I'm not at that point, but God will say, I want you to do this. Go walk after work. Go walk for a mile. Do this. There, you know, again, always remember, this is spiritual begins to affect the natural. And some of the things we do in the natural affect us naturally, right? So God may know, hey, you need to do some natural corrections. But I've been speaking spiritual blessing over my life, and God by his Spirit is saying, I want you to make these natural corrections. Right? And that's what he does. He may do some things where our money's concerned. Sometimes we want more money. You may have money, just not be spending it right. Right? So we just need the wisdom of God. And when I speak blessing, I'm really speaking life, and wisdom will come. Wisdom will come through those words. God will begin to reveal wisdom to us by us speaking blessing and blessing. And he'll begin to reveal wisdom to us on how to operate and live in this life above the evil. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. That's what I'm finding. That wisdom comes by speaking life and blessing. Amen. Yes. Glory to God. So does it matter? Yes, it matters whether we speak death or life. Because guess what? If I speak death, then what? I'm speaking darkness. I can't see. I don't understand because I've been speaking death-filled words. But when I speak life and blessing, all of a sudden I'm like, wow, I can see. Yeah, this is the right way to go. Because you're speaking life and light-filled words. Amen. Glory to God. And that's what happens, and that's what we should do. So, again, when people talk lack, that's what they're full of. Because they've been meditating on it so much, they're full of lack because they think lack. They've been meditating on it, so they what? What you think on is what you believe. And what you believe, you begin to talk about. So if you talk lack, you're full of lack. Because that's what you think on. And if you're full of healing, if you think healing, even though your body may be walking through something, you talk healing. Because my body is healed in the name of Jesus. And it will operate and function in the perfection of God. Because he made my body to function that way. And you will function that way in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And my finances must function properly. And I keep talking, my bank account's full. It's running over. I have more than I know what to do with. Brother Hagin did that, and he walked around with holes in his shoes, hitchhiking. And he said, what did I do? I just keep preaching the word, preaching the word, preaching the word. And he said, I came up. That's what we do. We keep speaking the word, speaking the word, speaking the word. You may be here, but you're going to come up. You're going to keep coming up, 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 up. Brother Hagin talked about it. He said one young man, he was very young, in his 20s or 30s, he began to sit in his meetings way back then, heard the word of God. He said it stirred his heart. He began to take that word in and begin to speak it and speak it and speak it. I remember him saying, I don't remember if it was $50 or $500. It wasn't a lot of money. And he said, today that man is a multi-millionaire. Got his own private jets, not jet, jets. He's into real estate. And this young man, he said, when he would have to make a choice to buy property, he said God would lead him. This was way back before Tulsa and all this area got just exploded with building. It was farmlands. God would say, go buy this whole plot of land. People would say, you're nuts. You're crazy. That's crazy. And he'd buy this property, and then the next thing you know, an interstate's coming through, and they want to buy this property. See? But he began to take the principles, like what we're talking about here. He began to take these principles and speak it, and speak it, and speak it, and speak it over his life. And he said as he got bigger and bigger, he'd say people want him to make decisions. He'd say, well, give me a couple days. I'll get back to you and think about it. And he'd say he'd get quiet and pray for 2 days or 3 days and get real quiet until he was settled in his heart as to what direction to go. And he'd say he'd make some of the most astounding investments because it was God directed. He led his heart. He didn't speak, I don't know, death, we can't make it. And so this here is what we're talking about. Amen. Speak life. Speak life. There's no faith in speaking what we need. When we talk lack, we talk fear. It says what? Our recovery, our health begins with the increase of our lips, the increase of our words. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, turn over to Matthew 12. Want to look at this for a few minutes. I don't have a clock here. I got one, but I don't have a timer. So how much time we got left? Huh? Yeah, that's good. I can see that. I can see 8:43. Okay. I'm going to make a suggestion. You all need to have a clock somewhere that has 40 minutes on it. Okie doke. Thank you. That's a suggestion. I'm going to leave it right there. That means next time it'll be there. All right. Matthew 12. Did I say Matthew? Oh, I said Matthew 12. I really wanted. Yeah, Matthew 12. Right. It says here in verse 33, it says, It's not, and again, the point here is it's not just saying something, but believing what we say will cause it to come to pass. So Matthew 12, it says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is not known by his fruit. For the tree is known by his fruit. Verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, see, we're talking about the heart here, what? The mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth what? This is what we were talking about before in James, that an olive tree can't produce figs, and what? Something can't produce, so good can't produce evil, right? And evil can't produce good. So it says here, an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth what? Evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. This word idle means something that's non-productive. It's non-producing, which is what the Good News Translation, it says, verse 36, you can be sure that on judgment day, you will have to give an account of every useless word you've ever spoken. Ouch. And stop and think about that for a minute, right? Matthew 12. But I tell you, this is the Amplified, but I tell you on the day of judgment, men will have to give an account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. That's what that means. Idle means non-working. It means just something that's not faith-filled, something that's inoperative. And that's really what I was sharing. You know, I went back and looked at that prophecy. I was mentioning that Sunday, that prophetic word that Kenneth Copeland gave to Pastor Sarah in 2003. He not only said, I'm increasing the anointing upon your life, but specifically what he said is, I'm increasing the anointing upon your words. And that's what he said. And he said, I'm increasing the anointing upon your words. Be very cautious how you speak, even in times of lightheartedness. And he said, like Samuel of old, the words you speak will not fall to the ground, but they will work and work until the time of the end. And so whether or not sometimes God cannot increase the anointing on our words because of how we speak. You can't, because you'd be cursing everything and it coming to pass. Or speaking something that we shouldn't. So our words, you know, again, do our words matter? Does it matter? Of course it does. Think about just something here again, Romans 10, 9 and 10. When it says that if thou shalt confess with what? Thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and what? Believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart, what? Man believeth unto righteousness, and with the what? The mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So that word salvation is sozo, which means all aspect of. It's not just being saved, but it means being saved from death. So that means health, prosperity. So it's with the heart man believeth, but with the mouth confession is made unto prosperity. Confession is made unto health. Confession is made unto eternal life. So as I believe in my heart and speak, and don't become disconnected, don't become weary in well-doing, I'm going to see it. I'm going to experience it. I'm going to taste and eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor Hagin, he shares it more often than not. You'll hear him share it or touch on it. Sometimes once a year, you know, in some of his meetings, he'll always say this. This is what he'll say. He'll say, you know, you all saw my dad. He's talking about Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, you all saw my dad in the latter end of his life with all of the good and the blessings of God that were visible in his life. He said, you all didn't see him running his car into the ground, running, you know, hitchhiking, going places, living from, you know, from paycheck to paycheck, living this kind of life, but still doing what? Confessing the word, speaking the word. It took time to reach that point. And sometimes we just let go and give up and quit, and we become weary in well-doing and not stick with it, because if God said it, it's got to come to pass. It must come to pass. Amen. Glory to God. So this profession of faith, we've got to believe in our heart and say with our mouth, and it shall come to pass. Here's I didn't share this. You can look at this scripture, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 37. Let's just turn over there, right by Jeremiah. Let's look at that real quick. Jeremiah, Lamentations, let's chapter 3 and verse 37. It says, who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commanded it not? Huh. I like some of the other translations. The NIV says, who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? Huh. Who are you to speak something and the Lord has not decreed it or authorized it? That's the New Revised Standard Version. It says, who can command and have it done if the Lord has not ordained it? Right? Now again, we know death and life is in the power of the tongue, and we're going to eat the fruit thereof, but God has already spoken that. So it shall come to pass. Amen. God's commanded it. He's spoken it. So it's going to happen. So what are we saying here? We're saying that we need to watch our words. I wrote this down before coming up. It says words are like seeds. They must be planted in order to produce. Your words are just like seeds. They must be planted. You know, I saw something in a book that Mark Hankins shared, which I thought was really good. He said, when we sow our seeds, now he was talking about financial seeds. He said, when you sow a seed, you should be focused on the harvest, not the sowing. And I thought, that's a good point. What farmer is focused? Yes, they go out in the field, they prepare, they put the seed in, but the whole reason they're putting the seed in is the harvest. So they're focused on, I'm sowing this to get a harvest. I'm not just sowing. I'm not just speaking words. But when I speak these words, they're going to produce a harvest. Death or life. So the same point. When we speak, when God, think about it, when God spoke in Genesis, he spoke not just to speak. He spoke to produce something, to produce an end result, a harvest, right? So if we're to be like him, then our yeas need to be yeas. And I'm learning, trust me, I'm learning like you. Focus on What am I producing with the words I'm speaking? And thinking about that, and thinking about what is the end result going to be when what I'm speaking here? Because I'm going to reap it. Amen. So we need to think about that. If I say it, it's going to be so. Because as you become more developed, and I believe God looks at that and elevates and increases the anointing upon our words as we determine to control it. Our words have more impact. They have more effectiveness as we control it, as we control our words. Amen. Glory to God. So, what are we saying here? Life and death in the tongue. There was another scripture I wanted to read over here. Let me just get to it. It's back here. I had it marked. I didn't want to just... What's the scripture? It says that the... That's not the words I want. Well, you can. I'll read this while you can go to Proverbs 21:23. We can look at that. But there's another scripture that I'm looking for. Proverbs 21:23. It says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And the contemporary English version says, watching what you say can save you a lot of trouble. What do you say? They say that. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Watching what you say can save you a lot of trouble.
New Living, it says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble.
Yeah, I have that. I'm going to read that. That's it. Yeah, you stay out of trouble, right? The NIV says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. This is the Douay Rheims. This is a great translation. It says, he that keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from distress. How many people, we have an instance right now, we have a person up in Pennsylvania, God sent him our way, and we thank God for that. And this person came because he saw a new sign put up out there, and he decided to come. And, you know, he's coming with, you know, some physical issues and so forth. And he has talked himself into distress. So much distress that he's just worry. Every word out of his mouth is worry. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so we got a call that he tried to commit suicide. That's distress. That's worrying so much about your condition that, and you know, he feels bad about it. He feels, you know, like, boy, I did a stupid thing. And we said, look, you're alive. Things can change. We're going to help you. We'll help you get some, you know, walk you through this process here. See if we can get some social help for you and so forth and so on. But he has talked himself into a rut, right? And that's what can happen with people. They just worry, and he's by himself. So he's got nobody. And so thank God there's a couple of people that live in the same estate that he is that have kind of hooked up with him. They come to the church, and they're helping him. They're going over to help him clean. They're helping him do whatever, you know, and not and talk life, speak life into him And they go, look, it's not that bad. You're still alive. Come on. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, just be an encouragement. Don't try to make him change, but just speak life, speak life, speak life, speak positive into him, right? And little by little, you get the rudder to change. But he's got to change it, right? I can't control his tongue. Neither can this couple. They can't control his tongue. But if you keep speaking life, again, who you hang out with is going to have a big impact, right? If you're hanging around people that are just speaking death all the time, that's all you can see. Just negative, 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 negative problem. And so I thank God that God sent the person there to the church. He needed help. And so, you know, he's broken, he's bruised. And that's what God is doing. He's taken the broken, the bruised, the hurting, the lost, the frustrated, and you begin to do what? Speak life, speak life, speak life. And it will begin to have an impact. And so we thank God, right? So Proverbs 13 it says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, and he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The NIV says, he who guards his lips guards his life. That's what we're talking about. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Right? Same thing in Proverbs chapter 4. It says, But he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. The New Living Translation of Proverbs 13, it says, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Oh yeah, that's blessing. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Those who are careful about what they say protect their lives. This is the New Century Version. But whoever speaks without thinking will be ruined. Good News Translation, be careful what you say and protect your life. A careless talker destroys himself. And that's just what we were talking about. You know, somebody can just keep talking negative and they could destroy themselves physically and so, you know, every other kind of way, right? The complete Jewish Bible, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but one who talks too much comes to ruin. Hey, that's what the word says. We talk too much. We're going to, somewhere along the line, we're going to say something that may cause some damage. The God's Word translation, whoever controls his mouth protects his own life. Now, I didn't write this. I'm going to read this. I didn't write this. This is the God's Word translation. It says, whoever has a big mouth comes to ruin. Oh, I don't know what they mean. I think I know what they mean by that, but that just means you're talking too much, right? You're letting some stuff come out that you shouldn't. Hallelujah. Still looking for that scripture. I have that scripture here. Here it is. Proverbs 12:18. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Hallelujah. The tongue of the wise is health. So if the tongue of the wise is health, then the tongue of the wise is wealth. Amen. Tongue of the wise is health, and the tongue of the wise is wealth and blessing and not cursing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but my bank accounts are full. My body's strong. My mind is sound. I have the peace of God. What does it say? It says in Philippians, it says, be anxious for nothing. Let's turn over there and read that before we leave. Philippians chapter 3, I believe it is. Is it 4? You're right. Be careful for nothing, verse 6, chapter 4. Be careful for nothing, but in what? Some things. Everything. That means in all our ways, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and what? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall do what? Keep your what? Your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So that means right there, it'll keep your heart and mind, so you're not going to be frustrated, you're not going to be worried, you're not going to be meditating on stuff, and you're not going to be talking stuff except the Word of God. And the peace of God will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When we think on those things, then we're going to begin to believe those things and speak those things. Amen. Glory to God. Bless the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for us meditating on it. Thank you for it stirring our hearts. And Father, we're determined to not just be hearers only, but doers of your word. Father, we're not going to be anxious. We're going to meditate and think on those things which are good and lovely and of a good report. And we thank you, Father, that they do keep our hearts and minds steady, and the peace of God keeps us steady in these troubled times. Thank you, Father, for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.